Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
Marketing Geeks is back!
Is that time again?
Marketing Geeks in the house!
I'm Andrew Sturgeon.
And Justin Womack. Here from Camarillo, California.
And from the Netherlands. But we are in the same part of your ear hole right now.
And we are real. We are real marketing geeks. Not the fake ones you read about on TV. You read about things on TV? Yeah, we're not the fake ones. That's right.
Welcome, everybody. And here we are. And thank you for everyone who has been tuning in, all of our 7 listeners. We got quite a show for you tonight. In the next hour, we're going to go over all sorts of manner of things. We're going to talk about geek news, including how Disney handles reputation management. We are going to get into the latest controversy with Guardians of the Galaxy. We're going to talk about the Google tracking and what they're doing about that. Justin's going to give his movie pass update, aren't you?
That's right. And don't forget, we still have our weekly sex robot report.
That's right, our sex robot report. And we have a special guest continuing on our whole LinkedIn thing. We've got a very special guest. And that special guest is going to be a surprise in a little bit. We'll get into that. But we have an actual HR person that's going to tell everybody what HR people look for when they are looking for people to hire and using LinkedIn. So we're going to get deep into that. But starting off, I'd want to give a bunch of shout outs to our 7 listeners because, man, we have had, first of all, again, thank you for everyone who attended the webinar. We are gearing up to do another free webinar for everybody. And that next webinar is going to be a big surprise. We're not going to tell you what it is, but it is going to be awesome.
I think we already told them what it was, but it's a surprise.
Did we? Yes. It will be a surprise once you realize how awesome it is.
Yeah, if you want to know what it is, go back and listen to our prior episode because we're not going to tell you again.
That's right. That's right. We got better things to do than repeat ourselves. So anyway, first of all, we've had some people ask us some questions, and we are, part of our job here is to answer your questions, and we want to get this as real time as possible. So a couple of people have reached out to us on LinkedIn, which is really awesome, told us how much they love the show. And if you do love the show, then there is one way you can support the show, because we do this not because we get paid a bucket of money for it, but because we love you. And the best way you could show that you love us is to donate to our show. That's right. We are holding out the hat and panhandling at this moment. And now I'm done. So,
but the beauty is that if anyone does take the plunge and decides to throw in 99 cents or $4.99 for us, we would love you for it. But here's what we're going to do. So we're going to be doing about a webinar a month. That's kind of our plan. We'll be releasing a new webinar each month. For the subscribers that are that donate to the show, we are going to guarantee you a recording of all of the webinars along with some other supplemental content. And we're probably going to open up a few exclusive group calls in the near future as well. So there's going to be some bonuses for anyone that wants to get in on this donate path. But this is not about that. This is about giving content to you. This is about giving value to our 7 listeners. And
so yeah, absolutely. So first of all, someone reached out to you with a question, right?
That's right. Yeah, we got an email from Shiri Mandava, who asks, who had attended our LinkedIn webinar and asked, "What advice?" Let me get into the question voice. What advice would you have for a 50-year-old entrepreneur who wants to shut down his business and go back to working as a project manager?
So I've got one question for Shiri. Is this basically what you're asking is, if I want to give up working 40 hours a week so I could work 80 hours a week, what's the best way to do that? And the answer is start your own business. So
that's the reverse of what he's asking. No, he's a 50-year-old.
Oh, he wants to give up to give up 80 hours a week
to work 40.
In order to work 40 hours a week. Yes. That's the answer right there. Well, first of all, you know, I mean, that's the trade-off. Is like when you're in running your own business, which Justin and I have done for years, it's a hustle. I mean, you've got to hustle all the time. And that's what that's the joke, is that, you know, entrepreneurs are people who work 80 hours a week, so they don't have to work 40. And it's, you know, admittedly, it is kind of hard when you're 50. I'm closer to 50 than not at this point. And so when I look for new opportunities, because a lot of people want these young ideas, there is something to be said about having a lot of wisdom. And so it's something to be said about presenting yourself as someone who can teach those young bucks a thing or two without being arrogant about it, but really showing like, hey, I've got a huge background and this is what I've learned. Now, one of the problems with people who are Gen Xers and above is that, and you know, Gen Xer is people who were born around 1970, like I was, is that they tend to rest on their past success. So the best thing I could say for you, Sherry, is that what you need to do is you need to show that not only do you have vast wisdom with what you have previously done, but you need to also show that you know what the current trends are. And that's where LinkedIn Learning will be very helpful to you. So if you have a paid LinkedIn account, make sure that you go in and you just kind of learn the latest jargon, the latest things, latest
techniques.
Now, Andre,
we have an HR person in the house right now, and I'm wondering if she would be willing to give her two cents on this question, because we're talking about somebody that's been working as an entrepreneur for a lengthy period of time now that wants to get back into the workforce. And so as an HR person, what would you be looking for in terms of like what would make them relevant to the workforce again?
That's a really good question. But before we begin, I want to introduce our guest.
That's a good idea.
Yes. So we don't just throw somebody on here. This is Iris Garris, and she is the head of HR for a multinational corporation that has offices in China and Mexico and the U.S. and here in the Netherlands. Very big company, and she handles all of the HR for all of these companies. But not only that, she also has run her own business for several years. She understands the nature of being an entrepreneur, but she also understands how to be an entrepreneur in Europe. So she has this really interesting perspective. And so we are very lucky, because one of the reasons I wanted to bring her on as a guest is because we talk a lot about how to find a job with LinkedIn and how to present yourself, but we haven't had anybody who talks about the other side of that, the HR perspective. And there is no one more knowledgeable that I have ever met more than Iris. And so without further ado, I would like to introduce Iris G. Here she is.
Well, hello, everybody, and thank you, Andros, for your nice introduction. Hi, Justin.
Hi.
Nice to meet you. A very good question. What I think people from a certain age, 45, 50, do is they think they are too old. And actually, we as HR people, we are fond of people that are elder and have a lot of experience. So what I think you should do is make clear what is all the extra knowledge, all the extra things you bring to the workplace when you're older.
So would you say that when you're considering hiring somebody, would you say that there's a little bit of ageism that goes? I mean, like, how do you view somebody who's like, are they too young? Are they too old? Does that cross your mind? Or do you really look at like the skill set that these people have? Like, how does that affect your hiring decision usually?
For me, I look at the skill set. I look at the experience. I think it's a great benefit when you are a little bit older. You are able to teach your people to have special skills.
So you don't really see it a problem to that. Like, you don't really count age when you hire somebody. That's not part of your like decision.
Not at all.
Really? Okay. So what?
Hold on. I want to ask you a question here. So, because part of this question is two parts here. There's the age, and then the other part is that he was an entrepreneur, so he wasn't working a corporate job recently. So, if you're coming from being your own, you know, being a business owner, what would be best to share with an HR manager regarding your the fact that you owned your own business? What kind of metrics? What kind of stats? What would you be looking for? That would impress you, since this is a person that's been a business owner for the last several years.
Well, for me, I would look at the resume, at like what customers did this person serve. I would look at the big advantage of entrepreneurs is they're self starters. They really know how to achieve things, how to build a network, work with several people.
So you don't have to tell them what to do. So they you know that they're going to like just get to work.
Well, get the whole idea of being too old out of your head, because that's something that you tell yourself. At this moment, the labor market is very tense. So we are very glad to find people with special skills, with good behavior. Actually, we look more at behavior than at skills. Skip this whole I'm too old thing and emphasize in your resume, in your interview, all the benefits you bring from being an entrepreneur. So you're being commercial, you're being a self-starter, you know how to get your assignments, you know how to do your business. And the big advantage of being an entrepreneur is that you know things about finance, about being a commercial person. You bring your own skills from your own profession. So it's much broader than just being on the same job for 30 years.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, distill it down, it's kind of like you have to have an element of what they call BDE, which is known as the young people say, that's big dick energy. You just walk into a room and you're just like, yep, I got a big dick.
This was like such a high level conversation, and then it just, bam.
And then I had to open my damn mouth. And that is par for the course with me. Basically what I'm, if I'm hearing you correctly, it's not really about the age, it's the attitude that really matters, right?
Definitely.
Okay, so the answer to the long-winded answer to Sherry's question is what would you have for a 50-year-old? And it's really you go into it with just like the attitude rules. The attitude is the thing. And so that brings us to one of our other seven listeners.
As an entrepreneur, she also mentioned that, you know, talk about your former clients. So if you worked with some big companies, bring them in, because as an entrepreneur, you have a well-rounded skill set. I mean, if you're running your own business or you're leading a company, you've developed a lot of skills. So there's a lot of experience and a lot of value in that. So the age is wisdom, and the entrepreneur background shows that you're capable of doing great things. So that's a great way to wrap that up.
And it's
up.
Really about owning it. So then the next question, and this is for you, Iris, is that, okay, so I'm an entrepreneur, right? And I'm going to close my business and now go to work. What is the most effective answer you could give? Because for me, what the general answer I would give is, well, being an entrepreneur is a lonely life, and I'm ready to work with a dynamic team. I want to work on like larger projects. You shook your head when I said that. What do you think is a good answer for somebody if you ask that question? Why do you want to shut down your business and come work for us? What do you say?
Well, that's a good question. I think to start with, be authentic and be transparent about your reasons, but don't share everything. The most important thing is bring on the table just what you bring. Of course, they will ask, why are you shutting down your business? Was it not running well? And I think you should avoid that and say, yeah, it was running great, but now I want to bring all the skills and everything I learned back to your business, because your position is so interesting that I would really bring everything I've learned back to this company.
Oh, Okay, so basically you would say, like, again, this goes back to your state of mastery. Like, okay, so I've developed a state of mastery through the years, and I am now ready to take that mastery. My swords are sharp, and I'm ready to serve you, in a sense. Yeah?
Yes.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
This position is so interesting, and I'm ready to do it now.
Okay. Well, that brings me to another question that I got. One of our seven listeners, Roberta Fan, reached out to us and said, I just listened to the podcast on LinkedIn. So helpful. I was laid off from my job in January, and I'm setting up for my next adventure. So this is a question that before I give her bad advice, you know, first of all, thank you, Roberta, for listening to the show. Really appreciate it. And I see, you know, you have a lot of experience. One of the things I noticed is that there's a gap in some of, like, when you were laid off in January to now. What I was going to advise her, so tell me if this is the correct answer. So lucky we have an HR person right here.
Yeah, this is cool.
This is cool. Because now I'm not just giving out dumb advice, you know. The advice that I was...
You are.
Well, that's, you know, again, I just, all I need to do is open my mouth. The advice I was going to give her was just say that you've been consulting for various businesses between now and then. So is it, if you have a gap in your employment, is it okay to say, well, I got laid off and then I just did various consulting jobs and I was consulting for my state of mastery? Is that fair to do, or is that a bit of puffery, as they say?
Or you could say you sat on your couch and played PlayStation 6 all day.
Which is definitely more accurate, but what's more hireable, Iris?
I think it's I can only speak for hiring in the Netherlands at this moment. It's not strange when you were be at home for half a year. You could say I had a sabbatical, I did a study, I needed time to spend with my family because it was the opportunity, just the moment. In the Netherlands, actually, you can say everything. Yeah,
it's true. The Netherlands is kind of a unique case because they actually give people time off here. In fact, yeah. By law, they have to. You have to take time off. You have to. In fact, if you go into work and not take your vacation, the company can get fined. So it's.
But even better
it's
than
like
that, Andres, in the United States, we talk about it. So we talk about the idea that might happen one day, and that's even better than really doing it.
People get maternity leaves. Fathers get maternity leaves. Here, don't they?
Well, they do 2 days. Well, we're about to change the law, but in Scandinavia, for instance, dads get months off.
Wow! Wait a minute, we're not in Scandinavia.
We're not.
Where's Scandinavia?
Scandinavia, Sweden, Norway.
I thought we were that counted. Doesn't the Netherlands count? What do I know? I'm a dumb American. So,
not even close.
So to answer your question, Roberta, I personally would say, since you're in America, I would personally say you should just say I've been consulting for various companies and I'm freelancing right now, but I'm ready to work with a team. And I wouldn't just put a gap there. I would put that you're constantly working, so it doesn't look like you've been sitting on your couch smoking weed. Not that you do. I'm just thinking about, like, what I would do if I had no job.
You're projecting.
I am projecting.
Yeah, well, now I have a question. Do HR people in the United States don't do a background check? Because that would we would do.
Yeah, it depends on the job. But, you know,
we absolutely do background checks. And a lot of times they'll do drug testing too. So Andres might be in a little bit of trouble there if he's really doing what he says he's doing.
Nope, I always carry around a little vial of piss right in my pocket just in case. I actually, funny story. This is absolutely true. I worked for those of you who don't know, I worked for the most loved company in America. It rhymes with Comcast, and one of the guys I worked with got fired. And the reason why he got fired is because he was sitting at his desk and he had a big sneeze and he smacked his head on the table. and right on the corner and cut his forehead open. And so his boss told him he had to go immediately, because if you get cut on any level, you have to go immediately and file a report, and then they give you a drug test if you get hurt in any way. And a few days before, he had smoked some weed with his friends, and so they had to give him a piss test, and he got fired.
Well,
that's a true story.
Sneezing can be dangerous, so exercise caution if you have to sneeze. Or hold it. Just hold it in, man.
That's right. That's right. Okay, so just Roberto, the answer to your question is just put your consultant and keep yourself busy by learning some new skills that will also make you more hireable while you're waiting. So you can come back and be like, you know, over the past few months, I also learned all these other things. So it shows that you're like a go-getter. It shows that you're, you know, you have some responsibility. And also, Roberta, you know, why not look into starting your own business? I recommend that everyone create their own LLC anyway for tax purposes. Might be a good idea. We're probably going to do a whole show on that at some point. I want to talk about how I used my American company to get me a work permit so I could stay permanently here in the Netherlands. That's a whole other show. But I want to give a few shout-outs to some other listeners. Awesome. Josh Sakel, filmmaker extraordinaire, who has made a incredible documentaries. He won Sundance for Fuel, and he's a brilliant filmmaker. He has a new book coming out called Kiss the Ground, and a movie of the same name. Big fan of our show. I want to give a shout out to Angela Schrock, who reached out to you, Justin, right?
Yeah, she just she mentioned that she was a fan of the show and was getting a lot of value out of the show. So thank you, Angela.
Yeah, so keep listening. And for each and every one of you, just make sure that you go out and tell 5,000 of your closest friends how great we are. So now we are going to get into some geek news.
So to get started on geek news, I wanted to talk about a story that actually ties right into the HR here, because we're talking about the firing of James Gunn. And we've talked about this a little bit before, but James Gunn actually had a sit-down meeting with the current president of Disney. I forget his name right now. And they put on the table the idea of rehiring James Gunn to Guardians of the Galaxy 3. So if you don't know the story, James Gunn was fired from Guardians of the Galaxy 3. He directed Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2. And he was fired after a series of tweets were unearthed by a who's the guy that unearthed them, Andres? You tell me who that guy was.
It was an alt-right activist, and who basically decided that he wanted to, as he put it, get a scalp, because he talked negatively about Donald Trump. So because he tweeted negatively about Donald Trump, he decided to go through 10 years worth of tweets until he found something that was rather incriminating, bring it to light, make a big deal out of it, because Roseanne had just been fired for doing negative tweets.
Also by Disney, because she was on ABC. She was on ABC owned by Disney.
That's right. And so what happened, I'm assuming, this is just what I'm assuming, and because there's a lot of stuff that goes on in the back rooms of all of this stuff. Disney, of course, is about to have this major acquisition. They're about to acquire Fox, which is going to be good for all you MCU fans. That stands for Marvel Cinematic Universe, because the Marvel brand will now have ownership of X-Men and the Fantastic Four again.
And Deadpool.
And all of these properties. And Deadpool. So they can start integrating it into the larger MCU, which will be wonderful for us. I mean, to me, that's like, who cares if it's a corporate monopoly? As long as I can get X-Men and Fantastic Four along with the Avengers in one film.
And we talked about how Disney's launching a Netflix rival. They're launching their own streaming service, so they'll have a huge library of movies to add to it from all the Fox movies too.
That's right, and all of this stuff has to go through the FCC. It has to be and who's controlling the FCC right now? Well, that's going to be Donald Trump and his people. So the problem here is this: is that if they hired James Gunn back, then what would happen inevitably is that they could jeopardize the entire merger of Fox and Disney. They could jeopardize having their own streaming service. They could jeopardize a lot of other properties that they have because some right-wing activists would basically get up in arms and say, well, you fired Roseanne, but you're keeping this guy. But so it would suddenly turn into a political firestorm. So somebody somewhere sat down with a calculator and they said, well, Guardians of the Galaxy ultimately may not make as much money as it normally would. People are going to go see it anyway. And if we have to reboot the entire franchise because we have a bunch of, you know, disgruntled people who are just doing the money, doing the movie for a paycheck, then that's what we're going to have to do ultimately, because the at the end of the day, we want this merger to go through. So I think what happened was, although they wanted to hire James Gunn back, they knew that if they did, it would create a firestorm and probably affect them financially on a grander scale. So, Iris, what do you think? Did stuff like that happen in the...
That, ladies and gentlemen, was another Andrew Sturgeon conspiracy theory.
Although I don't think that was really a conspiracy theory. I think that was just like what happened. I don't know.
Well, that might be exactly what happened, but we don't know. Yeah.
We don't know. I don't know any of those people, but... you know, if we could get a quote from one of those people, then I will definitely do that. But in the meantime, that is our report for.
Let's talk about HR though. So,
yeah.
Do you think, as an HR person, Iris, and you, if you were to discover that one of your employees was tweeting some pretty dark things? Now the excuse that he gave was, I think that this is an honest excuse, was that he just has a dark sense of humor and he was making some pretty dark jokes, and they're pretty dark. But I mean, I understand that some people have dark senses of humor.
Yeah. And just for the record, James Gunn is not a pedophile. He's just a crappy comedian.
I mean, that's what I think. That's what I believe. Yes. So the question is that, I mean, really is it too risky to a corporate yeah. culture? Is it why fire a guy over a tweet from 10 years ago? What do you think?
Well, when it was 10 years ago, it's pretty difficult to build a case around that. I know in our company, which is an American listed company, we can definitely not send out tweets with bad information about the company or about the CEO or whatever. Actually, it's in all of our contracts that we should be careful what we mention on social media.
So let me ask you this. So let's say hypothetically that you were going to, there was a possibility that you were going to open up a new factory in, say, Turzmerzhestan. And in Turzmerzhestan, there's a president who doesn't like anything being said about him. And you have one employee that 10 years ago said something bad about that president of Turzmerzhestan. Would you fire that employee if someone from Turzmerzhestan said, we don't like that, and the deal to open the factory may not happen because you have this employee? What would you do in that particular circumstance?
Well, we HR people always look at the law. So in that case, I don't know the law in Turzmerzhestan, but I know the law in the Netherlands and pretty much about the law in the United States. Besides the law, I think it's not doable to help somebody in the company because there's so much fuss about somebody who did something like that. So,
but this is like, I mean, it's interesting because this was like 10 years previous. And so this gets into a much larger thing
before
about
he was hired. Yeah, before he was ever hired. So that's a good point to make.
So this gets into, and the reason why this ties into marketing is because part of marketing is of course reputation management.
Yes.
When I used to do these talks about the difference between McDonald's and Chipotle, because Chipotle had this story that they told with their brand, which was about, you know, that it was fresh, that it was like localized. And now whenever I say Chipotle, you can't help but think, you know, E. coli. So reputation management is extremely important with these sort of things. And that's, of course, what Disney was thinking about both when they fired Roseanne.
I ate Chipotle last night. For the record, I had Chipotle last night.
And how's the E. coli going?
Not so well.
Okay.
Man,
That'll learn you.
I'll give you more details later. Stand by.
So the question is, when it comes to marketing, part of marketing is reputation management. How could you, like, right now people are leaving Facebook because the reputation has been hurt. So when you're doing certain marketing, part of what you have to do is you have to make sure that the story you're telling is consistent. We talked about this a few weeks ago when we talked about the nature of Steve Jobs and his reputation and how he didn't even want to acknowledge his daughter because he felt that it would ruin his reputation on some level. So that's why it's so important. Like, you know, watch what you tweet, and I think it's not going to matter as much because you've got so many idiot people who are just tweeting whatever. And I think people, you know, especially younger people, as they get into the workforce, it's not going to matter as much. But if you have an employee who says something dumb as hell, you may get fired. So that's why Rain Johnson went back and deleted 20,000 of his tweets, you know. And too bad he can't delete the last movie he made.
unfortunate that he cannot.
All of our memories. So anyway, interesting thing. We'll keep you posted on what happens, but you know, all of the Guardians of the Galaxy cast and crew are very upset that James Gunn has been let go, and now there's a question on whether or not they're even going to do the movies. Dave Bautista even said that he wants out of his contract.
The most recent update that I read was that Disney did agree to use the James Gunn script. That's what I just read that this happened this week. So they're going to use the James Gunn script, which should satisfy Dave Bautista to stay on the project, but you know, he might phone in the performance. He could, you know, he might be not as engaged as he normally would be since he's not going to be happy about it. So that's the risk. Are these guys going to phone in their performances now, or is this even worth making still? Who knows?
No, they're gonna add an extra number to the check that they're gonna write to them, and then they'll be like, yeah, all of a sudden I really like this idea.
Just like you Daniel know? Craig yeah. and James Bond. That's right.
Yeah, every James Bond movie he does, he's like, I'm never gonna do one of these again, and they're like, all right, here's some more money for you. You know. So moving right along, why don't you give us your MoviePass update?
Yes. So MoviePass, and by the way, let me give a shout out to Mitch Lowe, the CEO of MoviePass, who has found a way to be probably the worst CEO in the history of mankind. But it's the man has taken. I think he sold me a while ago, so he would be pitching, and he sold me on the fact that he had a plan for this company, and I was actually kind of convinced about it because the idea was that they were going to sell data to movie theaters, that they were collecting all this data, and that they would be able to sell tailored advertisements for movies. And since they were buying something like, I think they disclosed they were buying like 20% of movie tickets for a while in the United States. It made sense that people would pay them for advertising. So I saw the long-term plan unfolding. It turns out that was all crap. So all that was crap. And they burned too much cash too quickly. Maybe that would have worked had they, you know, had an extra $100 billion to sustain their losses. But they ran out of money. And now their latest way of trying to save money is they're now limiting users to only be able to choose between two movies a day. So like yesterday, I had the option of going to see either Christopher Robin or Crazy Rich Asians. Those were my two options yesterday, and I chose to see neither film. But the point is, it used to be that I could go see a movie a day for 30 days.
Wait! I just want to hit on that. Why would you not see that? Is it because you have a slightly racist feeling about talking bears?
Yeah. Well, actually, not bears so much, but rabbits. Yeah, rabbits. I don't like rabbits.
Rabbits. Listen, they're rabid Americans, buddy. Get with the program.
sorry. I'm trying to be more PC, all right? I'm trying.
You know, or maybe they're just like, there's like some animal fluidity, like they identify as a rabbit, but sometimes they identify as a bear, or they may have been born into a bear's body, but identify as a rabbit.
Yeah, well, I will I will honor their specific pronouns. So if they want to, be called, or what is it? It's not a pronoun. I guess it's a species. It's a species.
All right. Well, stop,
well, I will
stop,
honor it.
Stop
right?
being. I'm stop there. Being. I'm on board. Species. If, like, what would that be? That would be if you're ageist or
speciesist.
Which is also known as a spacey. Is a spacey, which means that you're just like done, your career's over, and you have to go and hide under a rock until you're dead.
That's right. You pulled a Kevin Spacey.
So anyway, boy, this is devolving. So I just wonder, how much is your stock worth right now?
Oh yes, that's a great question. The stock is it's very valuable. My stock, which I put a few hundred dollars into, it's now trading at 3.5 cents a share, but that's after a 250-to-1 reverse stock split. So my $200 is now worth in the ballpark of, like, I don't know, like 35 cents or something. So we're we're getting, you know, it's not quite the return I was hoping for, but
actually it is. You know why?
The opposite return. I mean, I would love a 100% return on my money, but to get a negative 99%. You know, I had the right idea that this was a very polarizing stock. I just guessed wrong.
But how many dollars worth of movies did you see?
Well, not enough to cover my stock losses. See, it would have been a valuable.
Just say yes. Just say I did. Just say I did, and then you'll be happy.
I did, and now I'm happy.
Yay! Okay. Okay, everybody. Now is my favorite part of the show. That's right. It is time for the Sex Robot Report. Ladies and gentlemen, my favorite part of the show. Iris, is this your favorite part of the show?
It's my favorite part too.
Yeah, that's when we go over.
I'm waiting for it every week.
That's right, baby. This is it.
Bring it on.
We are going over the latest Sex Robot news. All right, here we are. So, according to news.com.au, AU, that must be Australian. Sex robots could make for stronger relationships, a scientist claims. A Canadian scientist has claimed that sex robots may soon become as a vital part of modern homes as microwave ovens serving as marriage aids, quote unquote, and in and out of the bedroom. And when I say in and out, I mean in and out of the bedroom.
So how does a sex robot operate out of the bedroom? Are they going to be like cooking? Or what are they doing out of the bedroom? That's an intriguing statement right there. That's got me thinking. What else can my sex robot do to
Well, that's the thing, man. If I got a sex robot and it's going to have sex with me and then clean my house? Okay, Iris. She's waving her hand at me. Let me ask you something. If you had a sex robot that would come in, whatever it does, and
don't make me answer this question.
No, the question is, and then it cleans your house. It cleans your house.
And it was cooked too.
And it cooks too.
I would love it.
Yeah.
Whoever this doctor is absolutely correct. He's obviously absolutely correct and brilliant.
It's Dr. Marina Adeshade, and introducing sex robots into your bedroom could significantly improve marriage or relationships, a Canadian tech scientist claims. Dr. Marina Ashed, an expert in how technology and economics influence sex and love from the University of British Columbia, says that sex bots could become as important to married life as the conventional microwave oven. Well, let me tell you something. If I could have sex with my microwave oven, I would definitely be eating a lot more popcorn.
Let me ask you something. What if your sex robot had a microwave oven built in? You could be cooking while you're
holy smokes. Not only does it have a microwave oven in it and cook me popcorn, but it also has a PS3. Well, by that time it'd be like a PS6 built
it's
into it.
It'll be a little further than 3. I think they're already on 4, so yeah. So 3 is already.
Okay, so a PS7 built into its belly button, and it cleans my house. Now that is a product. We are in the wrong business, my friend. I want to go ahead and invent that. So let me ask you something. If a sex robot came and looked for a job, Iris, what kind of qualifications? I'm not going to have you answer that. I'm sorry.
This is already answered that.
She did.
If it can cook.
She did. So basically, are sex robots going to be as like normal as the microwave oven? I say yes. I mean, if it gets that easy and it's that realistic and it can clean everything, I think that that would be it for human relationships. Don't you?
It could be. But unless the sex robot uprising happens and they become self-aware and try to kill us all, which could very well happen because these poor sex robots, you know, they deserve rights too, right? Or do they not?
I don't know. Unless they just like start doing little tiny protests, like they decide to cook my popcorn just a little too long and then it's always burnt.
Oh man, it's burnt. Oh, that's terrible. That'd be horrible.
I know. So much for that. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is our Sex Robot Report of the Week. Tune in next week when we will have another update from the Sex Robot Uprising.
Well, that was quite a report. That was some fascinating stuff happening in the world of sex robots. But let's get back to the beauty of marketing in the world and HR and LinkedIn. And what are we talking about, Andres? What else is going on in the world today?
I don't even know. Actually, I do know. So I have a few more questions for Iris because one of the things that's really interesting about the job seeking, because we here at Marketing Geeks, we are big fans of LinkedIn and we teach people how to really make their resume and their LinkedIn profile shine. What I want to know, this question is tossing it back to Iris. Tell me, when you look for somebody, you looked at their, like you usually use LinkedIn to find new hires, yeah?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so what is that process like from the HR perspective? Because we show people how to game the system so they can show up towards the top of your list. But tell me what you look for when making that decision for a yes or a no. What does that look like from the moment you open your computer?
And looked on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually, for companies, LinkedIn is great because you can build a company page and you can do it free or you can pay for it. And actually, my experience this year is that we save a lot of money for not hiring recruiters, building a nice company page, and put on our vacancies over there. So people actually apply on our company page. So this is one way we recruit people. The other thing I think is very important is building your network and keep in touch with your network. So I'm on LinkedIn every day. I review what people put on their status updates. Some people blog, some people congratulate somebody else with having a new job. It's just building your network. So I got a lot of invitations.
Are these your employees that you're reviewing, or who are you reviewing on LinkedIn? Which people in your network?
Prospective employers, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So I look at ex-coworkers, ex-employees, what they do, if they move to another company, I will congratulate them. For our labor market, it's very important to be proactive as an HR person to keep in contact with your network.
So what's the thing that is like a definitive no versus a definitive yes for somebody? Like, tell me what when you're looking over these things, what is the thing that kind of triggers you to go, I'm not going to call that person, versus like, oh, this guy looks pretty good, or girl. Like, tell me what the thought process is behind that.
Recommendations, they sure help. So I will always say to somebody who is on LinkedIn and looking for a job, try to get recommendations. It has to be a recent profile. It's a nice picture, a nice header. Because we have this possibility to search. You know, you search in region, you search on job titles, and a lot of other things. You can even search on skills, schools, etc. So we can build a whole search profile. So you have to be sure that you have have the right search words, SEO.
Right, keywords.
Yeah, the keywords in your header and in your summary. And make your summary very nice. You know, I see a lot of people who just say in their header or in the summary, like, I'm looking for a new job. Yeah, a lot of people are looking for a new job. Say what kind of job, and be a little bit outgoing. Like, you can say what you're good at.
So as we say, like, LinkedIn is not a place to be humble, and so you.
No, not at all. Yeah. No.
So Justin, you were going to ask a question.
Yeah, I want to ask a question. So, what if somebody reaches out to you directly? So, is that if somebody takes the initiative to reach out to you as the HR person, and they express interest in applying for a job that you're putting out there, is that a do you take that as a positive? Is that going to
always?
Okay, that's.
Yeah. Yeah, so I always respond.
Because that's something that we always tell people, like, if there's a job that you particularly like, find out look on the posting, who posted the job, and then reach out to them directly and, you know, say, hey, I'm really interested in this. I would love to set up an interview. Please let me know if you have any questions. So that's annoying.
And even when we don't have a vacancy and people are reaching out and say, hey, I'm really interested in your company, and they have special skills – because specialists are very rare to find at the moment, I will sure make contact with them, invite them to tell a little bit more about themselves, and keep them in file.
Huh, that's interesting. So I guess the advice that we've been giving out isn't bad after all.
Yeah, it's surprising. I'm amazed that a lot of our advice got validated.
I know, that's really.
Wow, we're smart.
I guess we are. So
special skills. I have a bunch of special skills.
I do too, but unfortunately, they involve microwaving popcorn
with inside of sex robots.
So it's inside of sex robots. So just to sum up, and you know, you can go back and listen to our past shows. But as far as LinkedIn goes, you know, fill out everything. Make sure that it's keyword optimized. Make sure that your heading really shows like the state of mastery of what you do. Iris pointed out that it's good to have like a specialty skill, something that's very, very unique to yourself. Don't have the same skills as everybody else. Keep learning, and once you optimize it and you find a job that you really like, reach out to that recruiter, send them an email. The squeaky grease gets the wheel, as they say, right?
That's right. Now, I wanted to announce that I have decided that since it was our first webinar, that I have put up a replay of the webinar. So if you actually go to the website linkedinmasterycourse.com and you just click on the button, there'll be a button there to watch the replay. So I haven't really done any fancy tricks with it. I haven't put in the fake comments. I might put in some fake comments. It might be kind of fun to talk about how great we are. But for now, it's just a replay of the training. So if you'd like to check that out, you can go to linkedinmasterycourse.com and you can register to watch the replay of that LinkedIn training now.
Awesome. Awesome. And that's pretty cool. So, you know, again, we're going to have another little tiny webinar of some sort, and it's going to be an awesome webinar. So stay tuned for that. Tell people all about it. If you have any questions for us, by all means. Iris, is there any parting sort of ideas, or is from an HR perspective? The economy is getting really good here. Anything you want to just somebody's like perspective, like looking for a job or anything like that. Any other advice you could give people who are out there or marketing themselves, marketing their business? What would be your best piece of advice?
My best piece of advice is there are several things. First, I really believe you always have to be yourself. Be authentic, and it's not wrong to make it a little bit, make yourself look a little bit better.
A little puffery, as they say.
Yeah.
As I'd like to say, resume is French for bullshit.
Yeah, but...
Anders, always be yourself unless you're Anders Sturgeon and you're obsessed with sex robots.
Then I'm going to be Iris.
And the other thing I really believe in is... build your network. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to ask somebody to, can you introduce me to this or that person? If you really want something, it will come.
There you go. Create your own reality, which is something that I believe, because I believe that we're also living in an artificial reality right now. This is all a simulation. So we're going to do a whole show.
Well, Elon Musk tells us that it's more probable than not. It's more probable than not, according to Elon Musk, that we are currently living in a simulation. So take that as a fact. It's a fact. I mean, come on. Elon Musk said
it. It's true. And this is also a guy. Talk about reputation management. He pretty much sunk his own stock by calling a guy who was rescuing kids stuck in a cave a pedophile. That was a bad move, Elon.
The latest is that he's being investigated now by the SEC because he stated that he was going to take Tesla private, and he put it on Twitter. And now, I don't know all the details on this story, but he's being investigated for that statement. And if you're going to talk about company news, be a little cautious. You know, you could get Martha Stewarted.
It goes back to the whole concept of whatever you do, folks, just watch what you tweet. Unless you're President 45, then just do whatever the hell you want.
Don't drink and tweet. Don't tweet and drive. Tweet responsibly.
And that concludes yet another fine, fine episode of Marketing Geeks.
It's been a pleasure. Please. It's been amazing. And you got the most wonderful sex robot report yet today.
That's right. Please tell 500 of your closest friends about us. If you really like the Marketing Geeks, feel free to donate at – where is that?
It's in the description. It's in the summary of the episode. You'll find the donate link. But most
importantly,
if you want to contact us with your questions, your comments, or your hatred, please reach out to us at realmarketinggeeks@gmail.com. That's right. Set up a Gmail account. So realmarketinggeeks@gmail.com and send us your questions and we will address them on air.
From the Netherlands, I'm Andro Sturgeon.
From all of us at Marketing Geeks, Justin Womack, stay classy.
Thank you so much for our special guest, Iris Garris.
You're more than welcome. Thank you, guys.
And if you have any questions for her, I will pass them along. So stay cool, everybody. And don't invest in movie pass.